Good morning. This is Mark Collins on Wave 105 for this Monday morning. Now, my guest this morning was a member of one of the world's biggest bands who still to this day have a huge musical influence on so many musicians. One can only estimate how many albums they've sold, but it's somewhere between 150 and 300 million. They played Live Aid, they've rocked Rio, a musical has been written about them, and they had the most popular number one single in the UK. There's nothing in rock music that the band Queen hasn't achieved. So what's it like to be part of this phenomenon? Well, to shed some light on that and to talk about his new solo album Fun on Earth and his involvement with the Queen extravaganza, Roger Taylor, welcome to Wave 105.
Thank you, Mark. Pleasure to be here.
Where do I start? I mean, there's so much I want to ask you in our allotted time, but I have to start with Queen, of course, before we get onto your current projects, as it's been so much a part of your life and something that I can only imagine makes you intensely proud.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel very lucky. To have been a part of Queen, yeah, it's part of my personal wallpaper, and you know, that you have to realise that that's what you do, and that's what people know you for. So,
but when you lie in bed at night, you think, oh, I am lucky.
Sorry, I think that in the morning as well.
When you look across the bed, I'm sure you do.
No.
I think what many
people... I think all sorts of things. I'm not sure that's the first one.
Okay, all right, well, we'll move on from that one. Because I think what many people don't realise is your involvement with the writing of so many Queen songs. I mean, drummers do come in for a bit of a stick. They're the butt of everybody's jokes in a band. But you wrote many album tracks and the hit singles as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, we all did our fair share in Queen. It was a very democratic band. I think a lot of people thought Freddie was the leader of the band, but he wasn't. You know, he was the first to always say, no, we're a band, you don't understand. But, and that's great. That was what kept us together. That was what made us a tight group, you know. So everybody had a creative input, and so everybody had satisfaction.
I mean, when it comes to egos, I mean, if somebody said, oh, I don't like that, did anybody sulk or wander off in a lover's tiff or something?
Yes.
But it all calmed down pretty soon afterwards then?
Sometimes. No, usually calmed down pretty quickly, yeah.
Because I wanted to ask about two songs specifically. Firstly, one of my first memories of any Queen album that I bought was I'm in Love with My Car. Which I found myself, funnily enough, singing this summer as I bought myself a brand new car, which I love. And I was singing it during the summer with the roof down, and because it's I'm in love with my car, I got a feel for my automobile was the lyrics, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And now that was the B-side to Bohemian Rhapsody, wasn't it?
It was.
So how was it decided that that was to become the B-side out of all the songs that you'd written together?
Well, I decided and I didn't tell the others. No. It actually, yeah, it was because in those days, if you're the writer, you got exactly the same money for writing the B sides you did the A sides, which is completely unfair, but an excellent position to be in.
And was it true that you hid in a cupboard until Freddie decided, okay, it can be the B side?
No, I mean, as with every decision, we voted on it. I voted twice.
Democracy at work. At work. The second song I wanted to talk about is Invisible Man, which you also wrote as well. Now, I always thought it was in reference to you as the drummer, being, you know, the man at the back, as drummers are often referred to, but it's not, is it?
Not really, actually, no. That's quite an interesting theory, actually. Maybe subconsciously it was. But no, I was actually reading a very good book called The Invisible Man at the time, and I just that was it. That was what it was about, really. And then I thought, that's quite creepy. You know, quite a creepy idea in a way. Yeah.
And is that where you get a lot of inspiration from, what just doing in your life at the time?
Well, that just at the time, that was what it was. And it was sort of catchy and it had a hook to it. It was a very pop record, that. It's quite a pop thing.
Yeah. And of course, I can't pass up the opportunity to ask you about the video to "I Want to Break Free," because it was your idea to cross dress and tip a nod to Coronation Street, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it sort of was. Yeah, it was. Yes, it was. Yeah, we thought it'd be fun.
And
we had more fun doing that video than any other video.
Yeah.
So you could say we had more fun as women than we did as men. But. It was just fun, that video, yeah. I didn't really get it in America, actually.
Wasn't it banned in America?
Yeah, they don't. MTV didn't like it. MTV was very narrow-minded in those days.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, the rest of the world liked it.
The scary thing is, though, Roger, I found you quite attractive.
Yes. Yeah, it was a bit worrying, actually. But yeah.
Right. Well, my guest this morning is Roger Taylor. We'll talk more in just a second about his new album. It's called Fun on Earth, and also his involvement with the Queen Extravaganza. That's next here at Wave 105.